Hey, it's Errol inside the highendpottery.com studio, hi-endpottery.com. Elevate your personal experience. All high-end products are one-of-a-kind functional art pieces. If they're going to legalize it, it's time you personalize it. Highendpottery.com. All right, let's do it. Let's play it forward. A look at the unexpected changes endured by the entertainers, writers, camera people, and all others affected but not infected by the global invasion of the coronavirus. These are real people. Real stories, the struggle to play it forward. Episode number 208 with journalist Omid Scobie. It's been just over a year since Prince Harry and Meghan Markle first announced that they were going to step back from their royal duties. Since then, they've lived kind of a quiet life right here in the States with their one-year-old son, Archie. Well, now they're gearing up to talk about that decision, plus what life outside of the public eye has been like over the year. Omid Scobie, co-author of Finding Freedom, is talking all about the Oprah special with Harry and Meghan. We are unplugged and totally uncut with Omid Scobie.
All right, hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What time is it there?
We've got 10 o'clock right on the dot Eastern time.
All right. So you're just getting started.
That's the fun part about the whole journey. Now, yeah, well, that's right. You're so far ahead of us. So is there anything we should be looking forward to?
Well, we've just had another preview of Harry and Meghan's sit-down interview with Oprah. And of course, that gets the press here very excited. I think there is, of course, clearly some concern at the palace about just how much Harry and Meghan are going to say. You know, this is the first time that really we've seen them sit down in front of a camera since their engagement interview in 2017. And as you know, a lot has changed since then. They've stepped away from the monarchy. They've taken a life where they put family over duty. And that's very different to how it usually goes within the institution. And I think a lot of people are very curious to know where it went wrong for the couple and what could have been done better. And I think those are the moments that may not paint the House of Windsor over here in a particularly great light.
And yet I see it so inspiring because I see a man that stood up for his family. I see a man that really said, look, I want to live my own life. I see that as being a man, being a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Harry grew up with an example of a mother who suffered at the hands of the British tabloids. He saw the absolute worst it could get to. And so he had every right to be fearful that the same thing could happen again to his wife. It got very ugly here with the British tabloids. And, you know, listen, the days of paparazzi chasing you down the street may be something of the past, but in this instance, it was words doing the damage. You know, there was a lot of unpleasant commentary. One very well-read newspaper over here called her straight out of Compton. There were unpleasant remarks about her mother's dreadlocks. And, you know, here we are almost 4 years later, and it's still the same tone in a lot of the coverage over here, particularly in the commentary. And can you blame him for wanting to remove his wife from that when he could see how unhappy it was making her, but also how unhappy it was making him too?
How are they finding protection here in the States? Because you know how the paparazzi is here. Man, TMZ is always right around the corner.
Yeah, well, I think TMZ caught the couple just a week ago. So it's, you know, it's still on goes. They've replaced one evil with another, if you want to look at it that way. But I think in this case, they have a little more control over it. You know, they're living in a gated or a double gated community in Montecito. They've got their own security and they're able to live relatively private lives. And, you know, there is a sort of misconception that Harry and Meghan wanted to disappear and be left alone. And, you know, because, of course, they've used the word privacy. But, you know, privacy means to just have control over what you share and what you don't share. What they didn't want to share are private letters that she'd written to her father and ended up on the front page of a British tabloid. And they didn't want drones flying above their house taking photos of their child. So, you know, this, I think it's a fairly fair line to draw. But you'd be surprised over here in the UK how that decision has not sat well with many people.
Wouldn't you say, and maybe it's just my sick radio mind, I look at Harry and Meghan as being American royalty. They bring that class, when was the last time we saw that kind of, you know, love and family support and stuff like that?
Hey, listen, you've got your Kennedys back in a way, in a slightly different incarnation. It's, you know, Harry and Meghan, it's certainly, you know, you have them now. And I think that's an incredibly exciting chapter for the US. You know, I think that's why, you know, I've always worked for American media. And I always enjoyed the passion of people over there who were really invested in Meghan's story because she was one of your own in the palace. And I think people felt very protective when they started to learn just how unhappy she was being made by the powers that be within the institution of the monarchy. And I say the institution because that's kind of the machine that runs behind all of this. It's not the royal family members themselves. I don't know if you remember, many years ago, Princess Diana spoke about the men in grey suits that loomed in the background and had much influence over her life. And now it's the men and the women in grey suits. And it's still the very similar story. It's one of the things that we really go into great detail in Finding Freedom. But, you know, I think these are some of the things we'll hear Harry and Meghan talking about in great detail in front of Oprah.
Well, the elegance of the of this conversation, because it's not going to be an interview, it's going to be a conversation, because that's just what Oprah does. But the elegance of this is that our queen is going to be talking to these guys. I mean, Oprah's queen here, man.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Over here in the UK, they've given Oprah, that's in some papers, the same treatment they did Meghan.
No.
I think they feel very threatened by the potential to be seeing a darker side to the institution of the monarchy. You know, this is a firm that does everything possible to maintain a good image in front of the world. And here it is at risk because Harry and Meghan have taken on their own lives and decided to do things a little differently. And ultimately were punished in the process. You know, it's only recently we saw Harry get told that he would never have his military honors back, which is something that never sat well with me because he had really dedicated his life to the armed forces, but also to the veteran community. In my eyes, he had earned them. And so to see him that taken away for simply wanting to create a different life for himself, is something that I think a lot of people find hard to swallow, especially when you look at someone like Prince Andrew, who is surrounded by allegations, still holding on to his military honors.
Right. That's right. You know, they've got to look at Harry sometimes and say, you've always been a little troublemaker, but I don't see a troublemaker in him. I see a man that has always wanted to be himself.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it is. You know, yes, of course, like anyone in his early 20s, he went through a time where he wanted to go out and party and have fun. But he was a guy that was also on a mission to find purpose in his life. Unlike his brother, he didn't have a predetermined role. He wasn't going to be king one day. As sixth in line to the throne, he is, you know, as the press often call him, the spare heir. Well, what is the spare supposed to do? Sit there and do nothing? So no, he went out, he found a life, he found a wife that he could actually set up his own legacy with. You know, they're launching the Archwell Foundation. It's a nonprofit based in the US. We're going to hear a lot more about it during the Oprah special. This is a guy that wants to do good in the world and feels that he can do that in a much better way away from the royal family.
Now, I've not seen the Oprah special, but I've seen a lot of previews, and I thought it was very interesting that Oprah and Meghan, they share a conversation without Harry. It's like, what? I mean, that's going to be kind of scary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm so used to saying Harry and Meghan, and that was the first thing that stood out to me when they announced the special, that it was Oprah with Meghan and Harry. And, you know, the first half of the show is really going to be Oprah sitting down with Meghan. You know, we've heard a lot from Harry over the years. He's shared his mental health struggles. He's spoken about his time in the military. He's even, of course, was on James Corden's show recently as well. So I guess he feels, and, you know, Harry very much is still there by her side, supporting her throughout all of this. It's her time to share what she has to say, because she's really been silent for the past few years. We don't know much about how she's felt during this time. And, you know, I think if there's anyone that can get to the bottom of that, it's Oprah.
Well, if there's a fly on the wall, it's usually you. And I mean that because you're so up close and personal with that family. I would like to know, Mr. Fly, what is that relationship between Prince William and Harry all about? And please tell me that they really are brothers and, you know, that they still love each other very much.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, because unfortunately there is a a split between the brothers of sorts that involves them not currently being in much communication. And I think a lot of that is down to the fact that their priorities have been very different. You know, William is on that path to become king. He is living a very statesmanlike role. And like his grandmother and like his father, duty will always come first to him, family second. Harry did it a different way. He put family first. And that's how there's been a lot of tension between him and his family. That said, and we go into this in the book, Harry always will feel that that bond of brotherhood can never be broken, that while they may be in different places, while they may not be talking or on the best of terms, they'll always love each other. They'll always have those shared experiences together. And maybe one day we'll see them come back in a much more peaceful place. But I think Harry and Meghan need to do this journey that they're on now. And I think all the rest will fall into place afterwards.
The conversation with Oprah this weekend, will they talk about the video that was released of Princess Di that really kind of, I thought, was bringing William and Harry back together again, because they were working together as a team to basically get this thing out of here?
Yeah, if we see Harry and William together anytime soon, it'll be here in the UK this summer. They're unveiling, or they've both been working alongside an artist to unveil a memorial statue on what would be Diana's 60th birthday in July. And that'll be at Kensington Palace. So we may have a moment where we see the brothers together. But that will be the first time in a long time. The last time that they were in the same room together was almost to this week, the Commonwealth Service in London at Westminster Abbey. And we saw not one word exchanged between the two. And even then, it was the first time they'd been in the same room as each other for 3 months. So it kind of gives you an insight of how much work there is still needed to bring the boys or the guys closer together. But I would say that we'll hear Harry talk a little bit about that with Oprah, but I also know that he wants to keep some of William's life private.
Yeah. All right. You're going to think I'm a freak for thinking like this, because I've seen so many pictures and stuff like that that's been released on social media. I caught a good glimpse of those earrings that Meghan is wearing. I think I've seen them before. Are they Princess Diana's, or am I crazy?
The earrings of controversy that have come out that's been in all the press this week.
So I'm not crazy then. So everybody's talking about those earrings, and because they stand out, man.
Yeah, you know, I think for Harry and Meghan, they're often thinking of Diana and thinking of ways to bring her closer in. And, you know, in the Oprah special, I haven't seen this really spoken about much, but Meghan's wearing a bracelet that belonged to Princess Diana. And I think for Harry, it's always important to have his mum close by, because ultimately a lot of the decisions that they've made are almost in the same spirit as Diana. She's someone that really felt that you should always speak your truth. And that's exactly what Harry and Meghan will be doing on Sunday, regardless of how other members of the royal family feel about it.
So we all know what's been happening with The Crown. The next season has got to include you in it, because that's where they are in the story. I mean, is that something that, because you are so close and you have told the story for so many years, you would have to be in that.
I think as a member of the press, you're always sort of on the fringe.
Okay.
You're kind of there, but you're not really there. And so it's great when it comes to being an observer. But at the same time, there's always that line that is never crossed. You know, I've certainly never heard of a journalist becoming friends with members of the royal family. You know, I think The Crown is, you know, it's been the best thing and the worst thing for the royal family, because those first couple of seasons, people were loving the royals. They were more invested in their story than ever. And as soon as we started to get into Princess Diana's story, that's where we started to see the views of the royal family change somewhat. And I have a feeling that the Oprah special will have a similar level of impact.
Well, man, I can't thank you enough for making yourself available to talk about this, because we're talking about it out here, and you just give us that opportunity to continue dreaming about these guys and watching them grow.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm always excited to hear the American take on things. I think Sunday night will be very interesting. I'm almost a little annoyed that I can't sit down and watch it for fun, that I actually have to work the whole night. But I also think that it'll answer a lot of the questions that people have about Harry and Meghan and why they did what they had to do.
I love it, man. Please come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
It was great talking to you, Arrow.
You bet. You be brilliant today, okay, sir?
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Hey, that's Play It Forward. You can listen to other full conversations just like this one on all three of my podcasts, Like It's Live, Unplugged and Totally Uncut, and View from the Writing Instrument, all found on every digital platform.